Going to look at the last four verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the first four verses in chapter 4. We're working our way through the books of Timothy, even though we leave them every now and then. Praise God. And we're going to leave them for the next couple of weeks. But praise God. Every Christian is called to keep on learning and living God's Word. Every Christian is called to keep on learning and living God's Word. And everyone who preaches and teaches the Word is called to do it faithfully. Timothy, young man, Paul's like mentoring him, showing him the way, getting him ready to take care of the church at Ephesus, and that's where we're going to be the next couple weeks, at the church in Ephesus. But Timothy found himself in a situation in which we find ourselves today in this generation. Many do not believe in the inspiration of the Bible. Many people just look at this as another book. You know, it's been around for a while. It's pretty cool. It has some cool stuff in it. But many discount the miracles in the Bible. Many do not believe in inspiration of the Bible. There are many groups and religions out there with their own Bible. There are many things who have started up. Many, they want to call themselves religions. I call them cults who use their own Bible. I'm thinking about Proverbs chapter 3. Because I got to tell you something. I have an addiction in my life, man. And it's the Bible. I love the Word of God. I love reading it. I love meditating on it. I love thinking about it. I mean, I might be watching, you know, the Orioles lose to the Royals. But at the same time, I'm thinking about God's Word, man. No matter where I am, I'm thinking about His Word in Proverbs chapter 30. And you can line this up when people come and knock on your door and ride bikes or whatever, and they tell you, you know, this is the way to go. You can get out the Bible because it has the truth in it. It's God-inspired. It shows us everything we need to do to live this life, everything we need to do to live out God's will in our life. In Proverbs 35 and 6, it says, every word of God is tested. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Those are two pretty steadfast verses. Those are two verses you can take to the bank. Those are two verses that shows you how important God's Word is. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I think about today in our Sunday school class, Recovering Redemption. I got to be honest with you, there's a lot of people sitting in here that doesn't understand what we're doing here on Sunday mornings at 9:30. And it's go out and get this book. It's called Recovering Redemption by Matt Chandler. He made a statement today, the Word of God is like an MRI to us. It's beautiful, everything about it. I thought about Nehemiah a couple weeks ago, and I thought about in Nehemiah chapter 8, it's concerning Ezra in the book. And look at these verses. It says, and all the people gathered as one man at the square, which is in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen and understand. I thought to myself, Lord, that's what I want every week, that we can come and listen and understand and dig into your word. It said that they could listen with understanding. And on the first day of the seventh month, he read from it before the square, which is in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday. In the presence of men and women, those who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of law. Ezra the scribe stood at the wooden podium which they had made for that purpose. In verse 5 it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered. Let's answer together. Amen and amen. Let's try it one more time. Amen and amen. While lifting up their hands, and they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And the Levites, who were the priests, they explained the law. Hey, Elise, how you doing, man? So good to have you here. She's an awesome teenager. Let's hear it for Elise. You could be at home playing video games. You could be at... We love you, man. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, my gosh. Where were we? And then Elise explained the law to the people. I'm just messing around. While the people remained in their place, they read from the book the law of God, translating it to give the sense so that they could understand the reading. The last part of verse 9 says, "For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law." I remember a time when Pastor Alman, when we were at Christian Fellowship Church, and he took a missions trip to Russia. And he said there were people standing on the streets and they were tearing up the Bible and giving chapters to different people because nobody had a Bible. And they were weeping. They were weeping because they had an opportunity to look at the Word of God, God's Word, that were written long past. Praise God. Come on in here. Praise God. Let's hear it for these people coming in here. Praise God. Praise God. Phyllis, thank you for bringing your mom here. She's beautiful. At the end of verse 10 in Nehemiah 8, it says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Listen to those words. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In India right now, there's a cyclone happening. In Italy right now, there are floods going in the street. In Pakistan, there are riots going on. In Japan, there's supposed to be this huge earthquake going on there. And there's 150,000 people that they've taken out of this town because this whatever is coming. We got Ebola happening around the world. We got ISIS trying to make people say that Allah's the God, not the God of Israel, not the God of the Christians. But do not grieve, Ezra said to the people, for the joy is your Lord, is your strength. 3 weeks ago when I was sharing from 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul was describing the evil nature of false teachers. And he's urging Timothy in those verses, be different. He's urging Timothy to stand apart from the imposters of following his own example and teaching. And Timothy, he's urging Paul to be different. Now, two things. First, continuing in his word. 2 Timothy 3:14, because every Christian is called to continue in the word. Everyone who preaches and teaches is called to proclaim the word. Let's look at these verses, 2 Timothy 3. You, however, and he's talking to Timothy, Paul's writing this, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom, because that's what the Bible does. That's what the sacred writings do. They give us wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he gives them these two scriptures that many, many Christians read throughout their lives many times. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Stand upon those scriptures. Know those scriptures. Understand them, that the Bible is inspired by God. And Paul's writing this, and I'm thinking about his life's about to end. He knew Timothy must continue the race. He tells his spiritual son to continue in what you have learned and been convinced of. Timothy had learned the sacred scriptures from childhood, the Bible says. Both his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice taught him from infancy. Gosh, and I think about Hannah and Haley's grandmother just walking in here now. Teaching our children the scriptures. And he learned from the Apostle Paul, Timothy. And in your listening, God, I put, now Timothy is in charge to keep on learning from God's word and living in God's word. So I've been sent here today to ask you a question. Are you continuing to learn the Bible? Are you passionate about His Word? When you wake up this morning, is there nothing else more important than listening to God? I told junior high students many years ago, when you're opening this book, man, you're hearing from God. God is talking to you. It's ordained. It's been down through the ages. And there are people and groups out there trying to kill the messenger. But you might be able to kill the messenger, but this book will never be killed. The message will continue to go on. We should never stop studying the scriptures. That's why we have Bible studies here. That's why we gather together in community groups in our homes so we can take the Word of God and take it to our neighborhood. And if you're sitting in here today and this is not important to you, I'm telling you, you're missing out on what God has planned for you. Everything He has planned in your life is written in this book. Every answer to every question that you ever have about life is written in this book. I mean, the Israelites, they walked around, they scattered around for 40 years in the desert because God was trying to get them ready, and then they finally go into the promised land, and God just tells Joshua, meditate on this book day and night. Don't let it get away from you, because that'll make you prosperous. That'll make you successful. And I think about Paul. He's teaching Timothy how we all need to be teaching somebody, how we all need to grab a hold of somebody and tell them about the good news of the gospel. And I feel like Paul, in his dying days, he didn't tell Timothy to be trendy. Paul knew that God had given us something timeless, the sacred scriptures, and he's telling Timothy, hold firmly to them. Hold firmly to these scriptures. Pass them on faithfully above all else. And I believe God is telling this church here today, Community Christian Fellowship, to do the same thing. Take the Word of God and pass it on. And you're listening, God, I put, we must hold firmly to these scriptures and pass them on faithfully. Above all else, that's how important it is. That's the growing and the going part of our G3 here. Because Paul goes on and tells us more about the nature of these sacred scriptures that we're supposed to study and which way we're supposed to live. The Bible is a book that leads us to salvation. The Bible narrates the ongoing flow of redemptive history that moves ultimately to the person and the work of Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is unashamedly Christian. God did not make a mistake when He gave us the whole Bible instead of just a pocket New Testament. The Bible is not like Aesop's fables, merely teaching moral lessons. Andy Griffith did a pretty good job with that. Andy Griffith and Mayberry, all those reruns that we watch, do a fine job of teaching moral principles. But to use the Bible as a purpose for that alone is to misunderstand the purpose and the contents. The Bible is a hymn book, H-I-M. The Old Testament anticipates Christ. The New Testament explains Christ. He is promised in the beginning. He is there in the middle. Jesus is held up at the end of our object of worship for all eternity. Themes like creation in the Bible, the fall, the redemption, the new creation unfold this redemptive drama that we get to read about. And yet, sadly, many Christians know the stories of the Bible well, but know nothing of the wonderful Christ-centered storyline that's in it. And I didn't come here today to say, hey, you know, don't worry about the Old Testament text. I'm saying we read the Bible as Christians, the whole Bible, not like Jewish rabbis. We should honor the historical context of the Old Testament and make legitimate Christ-centered connection. Listen to what Paul said when he stood before King Agrippa and they were accusing Paul of so many different things. So he stands before him, and in verse 22 of Acts 26, he says, "So, having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to the small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place. And then he gives a grip of the gospel that Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So as we consider this redemptive story, as we look in the Bible, we see that Jesus is the hero of the Bible. And as a preacher, as a blessing of sharing God's word with you, I know I must make Christ the hero of every message, every sermon. Colossians 1:28, we proclaim him admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. In Christ. There's no other religion that can save you. No amount of work that can save you. It's Christ. Christ showed his apostles and the scriptures were about him. Look at these verses, Luke 24:27. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all in all the scriptures. Luke 24:44. He said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that in all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. 5:46, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. Think about it. This is the word of God. This is God's word for us. And he calls us to be faithful in knowing the scriptures and learning the scriptures. And if gathering around in a home group is not that important to you, or coming to a class here is not that important to you, check your relationship with God. Because if you don't have a hunger for his word, you're never going to understand what his will for your life is. Author Bruce Ware wrote this. He said, for although the Spirit is primarily responsible for producing the Bible as the inspired word of God, the Bible is not primarily about the Spirit, but it's about his Son. Thus, Timothy, as well as us in this generation, need to continue in the Christ-centered scriptures which are produced by the Holy Spirit. Nothing else should be more important in your life than this word. Nothing. You want a better relationship with your spouse? Get into the Word of God. You want to understand how to raise your kids? Get into the Word of God. I'm telling you, man, we're going to stand before God one day and give an account for all the stupid excuses we gave for not being in a Bible study. All the stupid excuses are other things that became important to us. Do you think I'm passionate about this word? The Spirit worked through biblical writers to pen God's word entirely and exactly as he intended. Just as God spoke the universe into existence, so also he breathed out his word in scriptures. This means we cannot simply pick and choose which parts of the Bible we like, which commands we wish to obey, which doctrines we will believe. All of it is from the Spirit of God, and therefore all of it is good, binding, and true. The Bible shapes our beliefs as well as our lifestyles. It relates to both doctrine and conduct, and it is totally sufficient to shape us into the image of Christ by the power of His Spirit. How many people want to know Christ? How many people understand Christ? How many people have a passion to want to learn this word, man? I'm telling you, I'm sitting here telling you these things, and I feel like I'm totally against the world, and I am. Because the world is teaching you that this is not important, that this is an old book, and it's really not relevant today. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. You have to be hungry for the Word of God. If you want to be blessed in your life, you have to be hungry for the Word of God. When I marry people, man, I love marrying people. I love doing weddings. And I tell them, you want to have a successful marriage, man? You better be passionate about God. You better be passionate about His Word. You better be passionate about giving. Then you'll have a successful marriage. I can't stand living with this girl. She melts me. And it's because I am excited about the Word of God. And when you get in the Word of God, He opens to you what love is all about. What this journey life is all about. Well, you know, I've heard the Bible stories, man. They're really not that important, man. Is the Bible shaping your life right now? Can you point to a place where you're gathering with people and getting into the Word of God together? Because if you're not, you're missing out. You're missing out on blessings. You're missing out on life. You're missing out on wisdom and understanding. When Ezra brought that book up, everybody there was in one accord. They wanted nothing else but to hear the Word of God. And that's the way it should be. The Bible gives us doctrinal truth. It reproves us for ungodly behavior or false beliefs. It corrects us when we stray from Christ's likeness. It trains us in our righteous living. It's everything you need. And there are so many false gospels going on and around in this world and even in America. People that are sincere about their faith and their book and their knowledge. But there's only one book. There's only one God. There's only one Christ. There's only one Holy Spirit. And you thank the Lord if you know Him today. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, thank Him. Be excited about it. And then grab a hold of somebody that doesn't know Christ, or grab a hold of somebody who's being fooled or tempted or spurred on to believe in something else. There's so many books out there. And you walk down the street of Warrington, Church of Christ, you know, Christ Scientists. That stuff is garbage. It's garbage because it doesn't hold to the Scriptures. And if you want to understand if a place is a cult or the old cult or it's of the world, line it up with the Scriptures and then you'll know. God's Word meets our deepest needs. It transforms us from the inside out. People need to know God's Word more than man's observations and practical suggestions. Sure, there may be some times to offer practical suggestions. Sure, there are many contemporary writers like Matt Chandler, like David Platt, like John Piper. There are so many great preachers out there and teachers out there. Grab a hold of them and find out if they're taking you to the Bible. Because that's how you'll know if they're taking to you the Bible or not. David Jeremiah, on Wednesday night, we're doing this heaven study. It's just full of scriptures. And that's how you know if somebody is called by God, if they're making Christ the hero of what they're talking about. We must distinguish between good stuff and God's stuff. And the bottom line is in those verses. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, adequate for every good work. The Bible grows us personally as we live in it. Page 42 in this Bible study that I'm trying my best to get you to come to, he says this, Matt Chandler, the reason you study His Word, attack your sin, generously share your resources, and serve the people around you isn't to persuade Him to love you. You do these things because He already loves you. You're so full from all He's pouring into you that you can't keep it from overflowing even into seemingly ordinary tasks. You rejoice in it all. Every day is a blessing. We have to distinguish ourselves between the good stuff and the God stuff. So Timothy first offers Paul, he urges him to continue in God's Word. And now the last four verses that I'm going to talk about today is 2 Timothy 4, the first four verses. And the second thing he's urging Timothy to do is to preach God's Word. You're going to walk out of here today knowing what's in my heart, what passions God has given me, and what preaching is all about. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. That's what he told Timothy. If you're sitting in here and you're a pastor like Pastor Caleb, you're an elder here, or you're a teacher and stuff, preach the word. The proper motivation is the desire for faithfulness to God, not worldly fame. That's why I started this series about being faithful. It's not about worldly fame. It's about being faithful. Timothy is to remember that he is preaching before God. He's never out of the eyes of God. Do you realize what would happen if we lived our life like that, realizing we're never out of the eyes of God? He sees everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, everything we're about. We're never out of that. That's some great accountability there. And this should give all of us who preach the correct perspective on our tax, on our task, our audience, first and foremost, is God Himself. When you're going to school and you're living your life, your audience should be God. You should be going to school to please God. You should be teaching in school to please God. You should be doing your homework to please God. You should be working your job to please God. That's what it's all about. And I need to always remember that my ultimate goal is faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. And that the ministry is internally important, no matter how big or how small this church is. My ultimate evaluation is not from you all, but from God. Sure, I want to know what you think. Sure, I want to hear wisdom from you. Sure, I gather around in Bible study from you because I know I can learn from you. But when I'm preaching, I'm asking myself these questions. Is God pleased with my treatment of His Word? Is He pleased with my motive behind it? Is He pleased with my attitude and my care for the flock He's blessed me with? I don't want to teach for the applause of men. I know I need to be faithful to His Word and to the preaching of the Word for the pleasure of God. God told Jeremiah, the prophet who has a dream may relate this dream. I'm telling you, I'm dreaming every night, man. But let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord. So number two, preach the word consistently. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, B section, be ready in season and out of season. This speaks of the urgency and readiness that we have to have. There should always be a sense of urgency in the light of truth that we are communicating. Every Sunday, because of you, because of your love for God and you inviting people to come here, because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to gather here on Sunday as a celebration, and then we're supposed to go outside these walls and take the things we've learned and share it with our loved ones, our neighbors, our friends. And when you walk in here and you bring somebody with you, inside I'm saying, thank you, Lord. I get the opportunity to share the gospel with them today. I get the opportunity to share God's word with them today, that they can walk out of here realizing, A, I'm a sinner. B, I can't be good enough to pay the price for my sins. C, we know that Christ died on the cross for the payment of our sins, and I can actually take God's word and make it known to you. I can give you scripture, yet all who received Him, to those who believed in the name, He gave right to become a children of God. I can give you scripture says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in our heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. You should walk out of here in victory, walk out of here in forgiveness, knowing that God has paid a price for your stupid sins that you've committed. Praise God. And they are stupid. When we are preaching, man, we're preaching on the matters of life. and death and eternity. And the preacher's soldier should be always ready to be on duty. That's why he says be ready in season and out of season. The ministry should be known for readiness, not laziness. Number three, preach the word pastorally. It says rebuke, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. The pastor preacher should apply the word to the lives of his flock in a variety of ways. As a pastor, I need to know the condition of the people that walk in here. I need to remain sensitive to how a particular passage is addressing them. And sometimes God's people need to be rebuked. That's what the word says, for their wrong beliefs or their ungodly lifestyles. Other times God's people need to be corrected in order to get back on the path of righteousness. That means that church discipline can actually happen every week here if we choose to listen and understand from God's word, because the Bible corrects us. The Bible knows that. Last summer, we're all outside. It's beautiful. We're kicking the ball, playing catch with the softball and stuff. And then these three guys come around with the white shirt and the black ties. And I want nothing else but to share with them the truth of God's word. I want nothing else to realize that those people, whether it's Jehovah Witness, church scientists, Islam, Mormons, no matter who's coming to my door, they have something to sell me. But I have something to give them. There's something, the truth of God's word. And then you bring those chairs out and you sit down and you invite them. Then you open up the Bible, because they use the Bible, but they have their other books. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, I started a religion with the TV guide, praise God. And you can sit down with them because God has ordained a time for you. In junior high, high school, college. We got two college girls here today. Next time you come here, bring some people with you, praise God. And you can sit down and say, from Galatians 1:6, I'm amazed. And I sat, before two young men, and then they came back again with an elder. And I wanted nothing else but them to know Christ, to understand Him, that it's not about religion. I got people sitting across the street thinking if they do their sacraments, they're going to heaven. And it's not about that. We can't do anything. Christ does it all. And I sit down in a chair and I read to them, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel. And the enemy will use anybody and anyone to get you away from the things of God. I'm sure you know that. I'm sure you know that. I'm sure as a teenager, he'll use video games to get you away from God. He'll use the internet. He'll use pornography. He'll use alcohol. He'll use drugs. And while the world is saying the whole time, man, you don't need God, man. We got everything. I'm so amazed that you're so quickly, and he says so quickly, deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is really not another. Paul told the church of Galatia, because they had a lot of problems with false prophets. They had a lot of problems with false teaching. And Paul was telling Timothy the same thing. But he said, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you something? And I know I've used this analogy many times. I don't like CNN. I don't like CNBC. I don't like NBC News. I don't like it because they're distorting the truth of God's word and bringing you something else. And us in this generation, we have to understand the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. And we've been living in a generation now where there's relative truth. What might be true for you might not be true for me. That's garbage, man. That's TV guide stuff. But even if we, Paul writes, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. That's what I read to them. And I said, you got to ask yourself a question. Is what you believing, the other books that are you using, are they contrary to this book? And the answer is yes. Because it's not God ordained. It's not God inspired. It's not Holy Spirit breathed out into them. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. But even if we or a Hollywood star or a president or a vice president or a king or a prince or a princess preach to you a different gospel that's contrary to the one who has preached to you, he is to be accursed with an explanation point. As we have said before, so now we say again, because Paul was so adamant, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is guiding the pen in his hand, and he said, as we have already said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. And Paul says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or if I was trying to please men, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So if you're living your walk to try to please other, that's not what God wants you to do. Psalm 145, 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. For anyone who is called to preach, for anyone who is called to teach, I would say work the gospel deeply into your heart daily. Remember what patience God has shown you. Then by His grace, display His fatherly patience to other people. 5, preach the word theologically. Band, if you want to come up. I still got 6 more pages, but come on up. Praise God. Preaching is heralding the facts, while teaching is explaining the facts. When you say the tomb's empty, the throne is occupied, that's preaching. That's declaring the news. But teaching must follow these news headlines and explain who Jesus is, why Jesus was crucified and buried, and what it means for Him to be the King, Him to be King of your life and Lord of your life. We desperately need a generation of preachers who will preach the word theologically. Look at the last 2 verses for today, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Jason, thank you for the PowerPoint. For therefore the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. People drift from healthy teaching to suit their own passions. They wander away into myths. And today, we have all kinds of preachers out there. Just turn on all your religious channels who tickle the ears of people. Some teach that they cannot believe the miracles of the Bible. Others draw attention as they deny the historical reliability of the Bible. Many stadiums are filled with corrupt health and wealth prosperity teaching. That's not biblical. That is not biblical to say the more you get into God, the wealthier you're going to be, or the more famous you're going to be. We must preach truth, because there is an absence of us in this generation. The schools are doing everything they can to get away from God. Colleges are getting everything they do again away from God. We need courageous prophets who will declare, thus says the Lord, with power and grace. Continue in the word. Keep learning it. Keep believing it. Keep living it. Keep preaching it. Keep sharing it. Remember, for our purpose here today, when I'm going to be a couple more hours, praise God. today, and I hope I can find this, when I get the mail on Sunday morning, because nobody's here Friday and Saturday, I get the mail and I got a letter from my friend today. The guy who came and played the drums when we did Taking Him to the Street. A guy that I grew up with, went to high school with, did stupid things with, smoked stupid things. And then we connected together, and then he played drums, and now he's living in California. And he calls me up and says, it's hard for me to receive this because I don't think I'm that good. And he said, Nick, I've been listening to every message you have online, and they're fantastic. And I said, Kenny, I hate my voice. How can you listen to it? So I got a letter in the mail today, this morning. I can't wait to call him today. Nick, I received some inheritance from my aunt that passed away before we left for California. You have been encouraging me with your weekly messages and have been there for me to speak like a pastor. I feel like you deserve my financial support because of what you have done for me. Please accept this donation for your church and keep your messages real and apply them to living a Christian life. And he sent a check for $2,000. And I say, thank you, Lord. That's all I can say is thank you. But can I tell you something? I'm not that good. But I know who is. And I know my job is to direct you. My calling is to direct you from Him. And it's hard to stand up here and say, don't be lazy. Get into the Word of God. Get into Bible study. Quit your stupid excuses. And start getting into the Word. I got in trouble at the other church because I said, get off your lazy rear ends and start serving God. I got called to the principal's office after that. Praise God. I got in trouble, man. Seriously. I called that ice hockey rink the Blessed Hockey Stick. I got in a lot of trouble for that, man. Calling that place the Blessed Hockey Stick on Sunday morning. Because there was more people there than there was at church, man. It's unbelievable. Get passionate about Him. Get into the Word, man. And if you don't think this is the place God wants you to be, find a place. He'll show you. But you've got to be serious about the Word of God. There are so many voices out there, so much gossip going on. There's so many things that are taking you away from knowing God and learning God's truth. When we gather here, we want nothing more but Him. We want nothing more for Him to open up these scriptures to us. And the enemy will whisper in the ear, but Nick, you did that. You smoked those stupid things. You did that. And there are people in here that the devil whispers in your ears constantly. You're no good. You're not smart enough. You really can't read. It doesn't matter if you can't read. It doesn't matter. He's just looking for an open heart and a listening ear and a willingness to want nothing else but Him. Nothing else but Him. Oh my gosh. That's part one. I'm only kidding. Praise God. Man, I want you to have a good time here. I want you to laugh, but I want you to walk out of here with passion. I want you to walk out of here with sincerity. I want you to walk out of here today that there is not a person in here that God does not want you to share the Word with somebody. Can you imagine standing before God at the judgment seat of Christ and you say, well, I really felt like I didn't have the gift to share the Word, man. I didn't really feel like God was wanting me to do that. You know, I was afraid to talk about Christ. And in my mind, I think if we start living for Christ, He'll give us those words. The Bible says the Spirit will give you the words to say. Amen. There are people on a mountain that are getting their heads cut off because they say they stand for Christ and not Allah. But can I tell you something? Let me give you a verse, man. I found this doing that David Jeremiah study. Thank you, Bob Stevens. This verse has been killing me, man. Now I hope I can find it. Praise God. Where was it? I brought it up on a Wednesday night, man. Oh, yeah. Revelation 20, verse 4. I'm trying my best. No, it wasn't that. Praise God. Hey, ushers, come up. It's going to come to me, man. Come up, because this is a powerful, powerful, you know, how long ago was this book written? And it's still today it'll come to me. Praise God. Father, I ask you to bless this offering, Lord. Father, give me that scripture that I need that's so relevant to today. Thank you for that keyboard. Gosh, your music takes us to you, Father. Our prayers take us to you. Our giving takes us to you. We live in a generation where people really don't understand that, Father. How passionate you are to have a relationship with us. How passionate you are to dialogue with us through prayer, through your word, Father. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Walk in wisdom towards them without redeeming the time. Let your speech be always a grace seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everybody. Father, have us to be passionate about your word, to meditate upon your word, and want nothing else, to gather around with other brothers and sisters who have that same passion, and then we can take those things that you give us and pass it on to other people, Father. You called us to go out to the highways and the byways. Your word doesn't say some of us. It says for all of us to go out to the highways and byways and invite those to the feast. Father, we're feasting here today on your word. We're feasting with our songs. We're feasting with our giving, Father. Father, give us that passion to take that outside these walls, Father. I want this place filled for you, Lord. Filled for you so that we can make a difference in other people's lives. Father, I want nothing else to say what the Bible says. Follow me as I follow Christ. Make me be nothing so I can make you more, Father. Humble us today, Father. Give us a picture of your glory and your majesty and your power, Father. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses for me, Father. So I ask you to bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.